Welcome, and thank you for listening to the SMA Flash Briefings.
Even with the coronavirus pandemic ravaging Europe and much of the world, patient advocate Lucia Monaco, PhD of Italy, remains confident that the Paris-based nonprofit she chairs will see the approval of 1,000 new rare disease therapies by 2027. That group, the International Rare Diseases Research Consortium, launched in 2011 by the European Union and the U.S. National Institutes of Health, falls under the umbrella of the European Joint Program on Rare Diseases. The International Rare Diseases Research Consortium had planned to host 200 experts at a March 12th and 13th Rare Disease Conference in Berlin. But like every other medical event in Europe, that much-anticipated gathering was canceled in the wake of an explosion of infections and deaths across the 27-member EU. According to published reports at press time, EU member states account for just over 41% of COVID-19 infections worldwide. Reached by phone last week in Milan, the epicenter of Italy's coronavirus outbreak, Monaco said she's trying to remain optimistic. She told BioNews Services, which publishes multiple rare disease websites, quote, "Although the COVID-19 pandemic is going to slow down our progress, I hope this will not hinder it in a major way. This is such a time of uncertainty throughout the whole world," Monaco said. "Of course, we're worried about the sustainability of research activities. The economic disruption associated with coronavirus is a huge challenge, and nobody really knows how much it will hurt us." She said funding might be diverted, and here in Italy, researchers must stay at home and go to their labs only if there is some urgent necessity. Monaco took the helm of the International Rare Diseases Research Consortium in January 2019 from Christopher Austin, MD, director of the NIH's National Center for Advancing Translational Sciences. Her three-year term ends December 31, 2021. The consortium's main goal is by 2027, anyone with a rare disease will receive an accurate diagnosis, optimal care, and available therapy within 1 year of coming to medical attention. Those whose disorder is not known in the medical literature will enter a globally coordinated diagnostic and research pipeline. According to the International Rare Diseases Research Consortium's mission statement, no less than 1,000 new therapies for rare diseases will also win regulatory approval by 2027. Most of them will focus on diseases without approved treatment options. Finally, within 10 years, methodologies will be developed to assess the impact of diagnoses and therapies on patients with rare diseases. She said, quote, "The initial goals when the International Rare Diseases Research Consortium was launched in 2011 were to reach 200 new therapies by 2020 and to have most diseases diagnosed. We became aware in 2016 that the goal of 200 new therapies was being reached ahead of time. That's why in 2017, we decided to revisit our goals, which come from this revised analysis. New therapies developed in the EU must be approved by the European Medicines Agency, which earlier this year inaugurated its new headquarters in Amsterdam, following the agency's departure from London in the wake of Brexit. The European Joint Program on Rare Diseases, established in January 2019, operates on a five-year budget of 101 million euros, or about $109.4 million, and involves at least 135 entities in 35 countries, including the EU member states, except Cyprus. The International Rare Diseases Research Consortium has 62 member organizations and about 120 people engaged on a volunteer basis. Members include nonprofit foundations, government health ministries, pharmaceutical companies, and patient advocacy groups. Funders and companies must commit to invest a minimum of $10 million in rare disease research and development over a five-year period. Patient advocacy groups must be umbrella organizations that represent multiple diseases over a wide geographic area. Members of the International Rare Disease Research Consortium include the National Organization for Rare Diseases, or NORD, the Canadian Organization for Rare Disorders, CORD, and Geneva-based Rare Disease International, as well as new patient organizations from Africa and South America. Monaco said, quote, "The International Rare Diseases Research Consortium does not have a common pool of money to be shared among members, so there are no second agendas in participating. Everybody invests their money in their own strategic goals, but the added value of being part of the International Rare Diseases Research Consortium is that what comes out of this consortium is knowledge that can be implemented locally. She added, "This is the daunting challenge of rare diseases, the ones that are most rare and are also the most neglected by research. Sometimes they're not studied at all, so the opportunities to develop therapeutic approaches are very limited."
Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today Forum's moderator, Deanne Runge.
Thanks for joining me. I'm Deanne Runge, SMA News Today Forum's moderator and vlogger. As I'm in the process of getting a successor service dog, it's allowed me to reflect. Last fall, I celebrated my 40th birthday. To be honest, I didn't know if I'd ever see that milestone. Born with a leading genetic cause of infant death, my parents were told I'd be lucky to live beyond 3 years old when they found out I had SMA. Each and every day, I exceed expectations and live a fulfilled life. Since I was young, I've continued to find ways to live independently. When I saw an article on the latest gadget, I would make a mental note. Clipping articles on helper monkeys and automatic door openers, my parents probably thought I was nuts. One day, I watched a Dateline special featuring a disabled woman with a service dog helping her do laundry. Instantly, I knew a service dog is what I needed to enhance my life. 5 years later, my first CCI service dog, Iken, came into my life. My life was forever changed the moment his leash was put into my hands. I became we, as he was constantly by my side. Not only did he help me with physical tasks, he, along with my cat, made great companions. When he became sick with cancer and his life was cut short, it was a lonely, difficult winter. Luckily, Roy came into my life shortly thereafter. I didn't know how CCI would manage to match me with another extraordinary dog, but they did. For 8.5 years, he blessed my life before he passed away unexpectedly. Both Iken and Roy had distinct personalities. When I think of them, they make me smile. Having a service dog enriches my life. Can I live without a service dog? The short answer is yes, but why would I want to? Last year, I met with a rep demoing various technology. His selling point for one of the products was that it could pick up virtually anything from the floor. I smiled and simply said, "My service dog can do that." Thanks for listening, everyone. Stay safe, stay healthy, and make today a good one.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com and be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.